The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yes! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Handoff, Elliott plowing to the goal line. Barry, sacked by Lord. Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it into the touchdown.
And now, your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Patrick Walker, and Kyle Yeomans.
It is a marvelous Monday here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. You don't like the word marvelous?
Not today.
Yeah, it's kind of a...
it's not marvelous.
I don't know of another M word. Maddening Monday?
Murky. I do. But
it's a murky
maddening
Monday.
I do, but we can't say it on air.
I was about to say, we can only say certain things on
murky.
The airwaves.
You wouldn't classify the today as murky?
It's murky because there's so many questions. Can't see what's ahead of you.
Yeah, you got to look through some kind of slush and
work through it.
No?
Yeah, okay. That's fair. That's probably better than marvelous. All right, let me start over. Here we go. In 3, 2, 1. It is a murky Monday here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys, here from the SWBC studios at the Star in Frisco, alongside Isaiah Standback, Patrick No Sleep Walker. We've got Chris Beam in the back. I'm Kyle Yeomans. Gentlemen, how we doing?
I don't know. Ask the Georgia boy, man. He's getting ready for game day today.
Yeah, you got a game, huh?
You got redemption today.
We do have a game today. And I hope the Cowboys use what happened on yesterday, combine it with what almost happened to my dogs against Ohio State. Do not play with your freaking food. My dogs, life flashed before their very eyes. Mm. They heard all season, and this is why, and you guys know from offline conversations, so many people, your dog's going to run through everybody. Nobody's going to beat your dogs. Yeah. What was my reply to all of that? I said, stop
talking.
Saying that.
Yeah.
Stop saying it.
Because so you're saying that Georgia had a warning shot.
They smelled themselves. They started smelling themselves, and it almost ended.
Oh, well, so let's kind of transition that to the NFL then. Let's transition that into the regular season finale. The Washington Commanders take down the Dallas Cowboys 26-6.
The Dallas Cowboys took down the Dallas Cowboys.
No.
In Washington. At what point
either
are we going to say Dallas lost?
They lost that game. Yeah. They were bad.
They lost.
They were bad. Washington did what they needed to do. 26-6 was the final score.
This ain't the one to say it, though.
I'm saying, but if we're always going to say...
No, we're not always going to say it. We're gonna
at what
say
point
it when
do
it
you
applies,
say a team just beats you?
When it applies.
Okay.
So you're telling me that the Commanders were good enough yesterday?
Their coverage was incredible.
Yesterday did.
Their coverage was all over the place. You had zero separation. You had a ton of pressure.
I'm not saying they didn't have their good moments. What I'm saying is, if the Cowboys play even remotely serviceable...
Yeah, but they didn't.
Your question to me, Isaiah, was when are we going to say that a team... actually defeated the Cowboys.
Okay,
yesterday was not that day.
Of the five losses, which game did Dallas get beat?
Philadelphia.
Okay. With a backup quarterback.
Philadelphia. They took the ball away
Tampa?
Three times. Yeah. Okay. Tampa versus week 1 and week 18 are doppelgangers.
It was the worst performances of the year.
Right.
Week 1 and week 18.
No coincidence the Cowboys lost those particular games. So if you look at yesterday, for example, you start the game. Solid return by Kevontae Turpin, called back because of the penalty on Tyler Core. And let's keep it to special teams. Brian Anger fumbles the snap, recovers, gets tackled. Washington gets the ball in the red zone. Keep it to special teams. Kevontae Turpin muffs his second punt of the season, loses it. Washington recovers the ball in the red zone. And that's just special teams.
Yeah.
Then you go over and you look at the offense. You talk about the dropped pick by Kendall Fuller. Okay, well, let's try him again. Bad idea, Mr. Prescott. Pick 6 on the very next throw. And that is 100% accountable to Dak. And he knows it, has to own it, and he does own it. But the list goes on and on. Couldn't get the run game established. We talked about it in the preview. We said that this defensive front is one of the best in the league as far as the Commanders goes, and you were going to have problems establishing the run. So then if you did have that problem again this week, where are you going to be able to pass the ball? Cowboys couldn't pass the ball, couldn't run the ball, couldn't pass the ball. When you passed the ball, you made mistakes. Special teams were making mistakes. The defense was the only ones that showed up to play, with the exception of the unbelievable struggles of Trayvon Mullen. And we wanted to see We wanted to see what that backup cornerback position looked like opposite Bland and Diggs. And we know what Nashawn could do, but they showed us Trayvon Mullen. They gave Mullen more snaps yesterday than they gave Nashawn Wright because they wanted to see if he was viable in the playoffs. Well, now we know that he is not. Because from the penalties to, you know, not getting his head around, and then there was a DPI missed over the middle that would have been in the end zone, would have put the Commanders on the one-yard line and flagged. Mullen did not have a good game. So now you know it's Nashawn Wright, and then we'll see who's backing up Wright between Alexander and some of these other guys. Xavier Rhodes is in the building. Big X is in the building. Former Pro Bowler, from former two-time All-Pro. He gets it done. We'll see if he can get it done for the Cowboys. But all I'm saying is, all of that is to be said, or is for this to be said. That game yesterday was absolute trash. Absolute trash.
I'm proud of you.
Absolute trash. Oh, come on.
I'm proud of you.
You know I called it.
I know I'm proud of you, though. Because normally you wouldn't say that it was trash. Yeah,
that game was trash.
You would give a reason normally as to why they lost.
Yeah, I did. I gave several. Yeah, because the Cowboys, what I said before mics went hot, and I didn't, I'll change the word. The Cowboys pissed in their own bed and then rolled around in it for four quarters. That's basically what they did in Washington. And it needs to serve as a reminder of what's coming up. There's no more mulligans. There's no more if we don't get this right. Okay, we'll bounce back next week. No, you're marching to Tampa, and you play even remotely as poorly as you played in Washington, and you're fishing. Can't happen.
What do you think, Isaiah?
I think they showed what we expect of them at this point in time of the year. I mean, unfortunately, they are a team that you just don't know what you're going to get from week to week, and it sucks because when they're good, they're really freaking good. But when they play teams that they're supposed to beat up on, they don't. And it's very indicative of I would classify it as a mentally immature team in the sense that they're not approaching every game the same. And they're not performing at the same level or above that level every week. And I know fans are probably tired of it. I just look at it as inconsistent ball. And they're going to have a complete 180. This is not the first bad game. I sat here last week, the week before, even though they were getting victories in some of those games, and I was still saying they're not playing good football. And people were like, oh, you're just hating. Okay, cool. They're not playing good football. You call it what you want to call it. You can win the ball game and have an ugly win. It's still a win, but it's an ugly win because the level of ball you're supposed to be competing at, and when you don't play to that level, you just fall into some victories just because you're more talented than teams. Mm-hmm. But when there's days like this, this is very indicative of what this team has been doing, putting down the film for the last 6 weeks. And it's very unfortunate. And you hope, but it is an H word, it's a hope that they can turn it around because there's nothing that shows any level of consistency in any three facets of this team right now. And it used to be your defense. That's not the case anymore. We knew this is a defensively led team. Offense has not shown you much confidence at all in terms of what they're capable of doing on a consistent week-to-week basis. And then now it's rolled over into special teams. So at what point, what are you leaning on to give you confidence to say, this element of our game we know is going to be present every single week? We can rely on this to be present every week because that's what we're laying our head on.
Yeah.
There's nothing. There's nothing. So everything now turns into hope. You hope that your team shows up and plays.
No, you're exactly right. Because let's run it down. Let's go all the way top to bottom. If this was a team loss, much like the Cowboys have had team wins throughout the season, let's run it down. Who did their job right yesterday? Quarterback.
No.
Not at all. 14 of 37. Sorry, guys. If you're a Dak fan, I'm a Dak fan.
If you watch the game, then you know the answer is no.
It's no.
It's no.
Even if you're a Dak fan and you defend Dak, you're doing him a disservice by saying he's doing his job lately. He's not. 15 interceptions in 12 games is not acceptable. And then you come out and you throw 14 completions in 37 tries. Not going to get the job done, especially not against the Washington Commanders. Just wait until you face the Buccaneers, the 49ers, the Philadelphia Eagles, if you get a chance to get past Tampa Bay in round one. Running backs, did they do their job yesterday?
No.
No, they did not. 10 yards for Zeke, 19 yards for Tony Pollard. Congratulations to hit 1,000 yards, but there's still a long way to go.
Yeah.
Tight ends?
No.
Not at all. Offensive line?
No.
Not even a little bit. Jason Peters really struggled yesterday at left tackle. Connor McGovern had his lapses. I thought Zach Martin even struggled a little bit. The guy who you can rely on more than anybody, he even struggled and let up a couple plays yesterday, a couple pressures. Defensive line. Maybe as close as you can get.
Yes.
I would say a solid neutral. I would give it a neutral. I wouldn't even say a yes. I didn't look at that defensive line yesterday and say, wow, Sam Howell is under pressure consistently.
It's not the case. Yeah, they didn't go, obviously, they didn't go maul Sam Howell, but.
Which they should have.
Did they get back to the old ways?
Well, I think they.
Heck no.
Okay. No. I don't think that they looked at Howell's Tar Heel tape and they somehow forgot that he has legs. He can run.
He can run.
And he took off and burned him a couple times. But, I mean, there were certainly positives to take away from the defensive line. Chauncey Golston, for example, he stood out. Osa Odighizuwa, he had some plays. But as far – not defensive front.
Even Osa's sack, that was Sam Howell blowing the play call. So, I mean he botched the whole thing.
Defensive line, they were above average.
We'll give it a halfway.
151 yards given up on the ground.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not good.
Well, contextually speaking – when you're tasked as a defense with going up against that time of position, because your offense goes 4-18 on third down,
plus one for three on fourth down.
Yep, 4-18, and unfortunately, we talk about a guy like Trayvon Mullen, and not to beat up on a guy, but the secondary as a whole, and you know, sure, the glaring light is on Trayvon Mullen, but because Sam Howell was able to extend plays, be it with defensive pass interference and or big, you know, catches to Terry McLaurin, because they kept targeting Mullen, that stretch the field so you can't drop down and try to, you know, add that extra man in the box to stop the run. So there you go.
Let's keep going. Linebacker.
No.
Not at all. Damone Clark and Anthony Brown did not play well.
We miss you, LV.
Or Anthony Barr, excuse me. And Damone Clark did not play well.
Hankins.
Yeah, they're going to need him back.
Coming back.
Corners.
No.
No. Jeez. Safeties.
Hooker, yes.
He had the pick.
In the end zone.
He did
his job.
Took away points.
Big way.
And took away points.
And what the offense do?
He was out of position on the he was out of position on the huge completion to Dotson, number one.
With Mullen in coverage.
That one wasn't with Mullen. Okay. That one was with Nashawn in coverage.
Okay. I saw one. There was a deep one. The deep one,
he was also out of – that was with McLaurin.
Pursuit. Yeah, Hooker in pursuit.
McLaurin's big completion was with Mullen in coverage, and Hooker was trying to get there his time. Yeah. So even then, you have a lapse. Kicker.
No.
No. Punter.
No.
Punt returner. Yes. Kick returner.
Absolutely not.
So every single piece of this Cowboys roster has some sort of the blame.
That is
absolutely important.
Every single piece. You cannot get past anybody and say, all right, man, hey, great job. Didn't work out for you today. We'll see you next week. We'll try and do better around you. Nobody. Zero. Everybody in that locker room has a chip on their shoulder right now because they were all bad, all of them. And I'm the one that usually defends these guys. You can't after that performance.
Much like week one against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, not so coincidentally, as we get ready to face them here in the next few days. It was, like you said, it was a total team loss. All three phases just went to hell. And that's, I mean, even Brett Maher, you know, you talk about Joey Sly missing his kicks, right? But Maher is Maher, and he missed a point after. And that's really when you know you're in the twilight zone, where it's like, I don't know what's going on here, but it's going on. And this ain't pretty, so let's just try to get out of here whole. And then now the Cowboys, and kind of a quick news and notes tidbit, Deron Bland, chest injury, he'll be evaluated this morning. He was in good spirits on the flight back.
Rumor floating around there right now is that that's just a coach's – that was a coach's decision.
And I'm totally
to keep
fine
him out.
With that. And I mentioned that in the updates on, the.com yesterday, that it was most likely precautionary, but we'll get an update from Mike.
He came back in the third quarter.
Yeah, but
– because he played a little bit. Cool. So,
but that – combined with the fact that he was in good spirits on the plane, not good in the aspect of smiling, but good in the aspect of there wasn't any sense of concern on his face for whatever the injury might be. So it's not like he was being jovial on the plane or anything. You know, he just had a not so downtrodden facial expression as if, oh my God, my season's over. It wasn't that kind of vibe coming off him. So that's good news. We'll get more update on Deron Bland. But I can't get over how, and Nick even put it very well when we walk into the locker room. He said this has been a full circle regular season. Mm-hmm. You ended the regular season exactly how you started, sans, you know, injury to Dak Prescott. But yeah, you wet the bed in week one, you wet the bed in week 18, and now the Cowboys, who usually, what am I gonna say usually, this season 100% of the time has responded very favorably to getting punched in the mouth. All we can do is look at that and say they have demonstrated resiliency. Let's see it again, because you got to have it now. I mean,
hope.
Yeah, it's hope based on evidence, because they've not suffered a 2-game losing streak. So it's not phantom hope. It's actual evidential based hope. They lost to Tampa Bay. Most people said the season was over. Wrap it up. It's done. Yep. We lost Dak Prescott. It's a wrap.
Yeah.
They beat the Cincinnati Bengals with Cooper Rush, and they went on a 4-game win streak before dropping to the Philadelphia Eagles. They lose to Green Bay. They maul Minnesota. See, now that is what I'm expecting to see from the Cowboys. You didn't even necessarily get punched in the mouth by Aaron Rodgers, but the fashion in which you lost that game shouldn't have happened, 14-point collapse. Mm-hmm. You bounce back and you just destroy Minnesota Vikings.
Let me ask you this question.
Go for it.
What aspect of the game of football do you know for sure will show back up for the Cowboys next week?
You want to be honest?
Absolutely, I do.
Well, I know the defense is going to show up. Hell, they showed up yesterday until they got gassed. And Trayvon Mullen's not going to be, CB2. It's going back to Nation Wright. So I think
showing up means what?
Defense is going to show up and do what you pay them to do. Get pressures, hopefully get some sacks, okay. Get some takeaways. They lead the league in takeaways. So I'm hanging my hat on the defense.
Under 400 yards, that like the – I'm trying to understand, like, what is
– what would you constitute as
– doing their job and showing up against Tom Brady and all the weapons.
Oh, yeah. Well, give me showing up for me against Tom Brady and those weapons would be 3 sacks on Brady.
Okay.
An interception. Mm. Forced fumble / fumble recovery.
All those.
Yeah, that's not – you're not asking a lot from a defense that's showing you it can do it. And I didn't say – of course, I would love 6 or 7
sacks. I'm asking this.
3 sacks.
I asked this question because
and
you just don't know. So that's why I utilize the term hope.
Facts.
And nobody likes that term because hope is not a real thing. I hope I hit the lotto.
It's not a strategy.
That thing's over at Billy right now. I hope I hit that.
But it's relative because what's been your success in playing the lotto before?
I get it. I get it. But you just don't know with this team, man.
To go with your point, though. Going back to last year.
Come on, I'm not going back to last year.
I am, because the red flags were there all the way throughout the year.
We got to go back to history.
You were 12-5 a year ago.
We're talking about the right now and the next week.
But those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And I'm trying to say that moving forward.
Come on with it. Don't get it off.
12-5 last year. You had red flags all the way throughout. Where do those red flags rear their ugly head? Against San Francisco.
That is correct.
You have red flags all the way throughout this season in a 12-5 record. Great. Congratulations. You won 12 regular season games. Mm-hmm. You've got to limit the turnovers. You've got to find a way to run the football again.
Yes and yes.
And you got to find a way to get back to your identity defensively. All of those things haven't been working lately. So how can you sit here and tell me that it's going to all show up magically whenever you play one of the better teams you've played all year
long?
I'm
sorry. You want to run that back? Did I say it was all magically going to show up?
You just told me the defense was going to have what they had.
I just told you that I expect. He asked me, what do I expect? Which phase do I expect to show up? Of the 3 phases, which do I most expect to show up?
And you said the defense.
And I said the defense. That's what I most expect to show up.
Do you expect anything else to show up?
I expect Dak Prescott to bounce back in the passing attack. Okay. I expect that to happen. I do expect the Cowboys to have a difficult time establishing the run against the defense.
Tampa front.
I expect that to happen. But I expect Dak Prescott to show me that he can bounce back as he's shown me in the past. My point being, I'm not saying it's magically going to show up any more than I'm trying to apologize for yesterday. Run the tape back. What did I call the outing from yesterday? I said it was trash.
It was trash.
I said they peed in their own bed and then rolled around in it for 4 quarters. Yeah. That is what I said. That is all true.
Gross.
We just sat here and went position group by position group, and we failed most of them and just gave an average grade to the defensive line. I agree. Those are my grades. They're all true. What's also true is there's evidence that the Cowboys have been punched in the mouth this season.
And have come back.
And won the very next game and going on runs more often than not. That is also true. That's what I'm saying. So I'm not apologizing for what happened because it's indefensible against that Washington team. But I'm also saying we can't look at the macro of what happened over the course of this season. And a week ago, talk about how McCarthy and this coaching staff has fought through adversity and losing Dak Prescott and all these injuries and losing Hankins and losing Leighton Vander Esch and losing Teron Smith before the season. Move a rookie first-round pick, Tyler Smith, to left guard after not having him take any reps there in training camp. The list goes on and on and on, and still they find ways to not lose two in a row en route to a 12-5 season. There is evidence there that this team can bounce back. So what I'm saying is that's what I expect to happen. That's what they need to expect and demand of themselves in the locker room, in the meeting rooms, on the practice field every day this week. And when you get on that field against Tom Brady, you have a chance to not only bounce back from an embarrassing, nauseating loss against Washington, but to hand Brady his first loss against this franchise and possibly retire him in the process. The stage is set. Go do your job, because we know you can do your job. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't be this frustrated if I didn't think you were as elite as I think you can be. But I'm gonna say it like I would when I'm coaching, and you know, coaching Little League and things like that. These are grown men, but coaching is coaching. Parenting is parenting. It's the same thing. If I've seen that you can be great, I no longer accept anything less than what you've shown me. Bottom line.
And you've seen it.
And I've seen it. If I didn't see it at any point this year, I would be sitting here saying, you know what? Things are, you know, go ahead and wrap it up. We're going to get blown out in Tampa Bay. I understand Isaiah makes valid points. You make valid points. Anyone who saw the game and actually watches film over the course of this season knows that there are valid points to be made for having concern about this Cowboys team going into these playoffs. All of that is true. What's also true is anyone who's watched this season, watched the film from this season, knows that there's also a chance this Cowboys team might benefit from being punched in the mouth as much as we hate that it had to happen. That's what I'm saying. I hate that they lost that game in Washington. I hate the fashion in which it happened, but if it had to happen, if week 18 had to be the sacrificial lamb to get to the promised land, then cut the head off that goat, man. Cut the head off that goat.
I've got a stat that's going to back your point up here. And I've got a stat that's going to destroy the point at the same time, back and forth. I mean, depending on how you want to take it, perception is reality. I'm going to give it to you on the other side of the break. We're going to continue with more Talking Cowboys right after this.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far, with up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less. The satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, equal housing lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
This week! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil' Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to blackriflecoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
This is How We Country. Country Music's Party of the Year is coming to Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. The Academy of Country Music Awards are always bringing you country music's brightest stars together under one roof. And no one does country quite like Texas. Witness history on May 11th. Get your tickets right now at SeatGeek.com. Back here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. We've got our Black Rifle rolling. We've got the coffee flowing. We got the energy here because the Cowboys fell 26-6 in the regular season finale against the Washington Commanders. So I want to go back and talk about Patrick's point in that first segment and valid points across the board because, like I said, perception is reality right now. Where right now you can perceive this Cowboys team as they've got the weapons, they've got the talent. If they play their best football, the only team that can beat them is the Star.
Correct.
And you saw that again yesterday. They can bounce back. Absolutely they can bounce back. And yesterday I put this out on Twitter actually for this point because there are six games from the start of last year that I have had as losses, six losses, that stick in the back of my mind.
Okay.
2021 against Denver, week 9. Get blown out at home against a bad Denver
blueprint team.
The blueprint game. Week 12, which is Thanksgiving, against Las Vegas last year. Penalties. And that was even an overtime loss. Mm-hmm. You should have won that game. You didn't. And then the wild card game in 2021 against San Francisco. This year, the three games are week 1 against Tampa Bay, week 15 against Jacksonville when you were up by 17, and now 2022, week 18, against Washington. The part of that stat that's going to go toward Patrick's point, what did they do in each of the weeks after all of those games? They won. They won every single one of the weeks after that. They were 6-0 following those six games.
Bouncing back like
those were the games that stuck out in my mind as signature losses. Absolutely just did not play well. Performances across the board bad. They won all six games after that, which to their credit, that's huge. So for everybody that's saying the sky is falling, let's tap the brakes. They've got a game next week.
No.
You can say it next week if they lose. You can say sky is falling. So well, tell me, Isaiah, then, from your standpoint as a player, how much do you have to rely on your own motivation? Because the motivation wasn't necessarily there in week 18.
No.
But now it is. It's either win or go home.
Your motivation can't be dictated upon the opponent that you're facing. That's first off.
That's a fact.
Okay? Then why is it? Or why does it seem that way?
I can't speak to that because I was not in locker rooms that existed.
Okay.
So I cannot speak to that mindset. I can identify it. I can acknowledge it and say that's I've played teams that are wishy-washy and up sometimes, down sometimes, going with the tide, you know, but you got to remain steadfast as a team, as an organization. You got to have the right mindset. And unfortunately, this team has not to date. They have not been a pinnacle of consistency in any facet of the game. I guess you could say special teams has probably been the most consistent out of all the units, and that fell apart yesterday. So I can't speak to their mindset, but I can speak and say this is what needs to take place going forward. Yesterday was yesterday. I don't even know if they're going to review the tape. I probably wouldn't view the tape.
They were watching it on the flight.
I'm sure. Yeah, but once you land, be done with it. Once you land, be done with it. Because now it's all about film study going forward. If you have to get up for a playoff game, you just should not be in the locker room. So I'm not even going to project that anybody on the roster has to get up for that game. I'm not going to put that out there because I don't think they have those type of competitors on this team.
Yeah.
I do think that collectively they need to come together and figure out what the realistic goal is for this team. It's easy for every single body to sit in the locker room at the beginning of the year when coach walks in and says, we're going for the Super Bowl this year. We're going NFC Championship. Then we're going, we're going Division Championship, NFC Championship, and then we're going to win the Super Bowl. Everybody says it. Okay, cool. Rah, rah. What's your realistic expectation? What's the identity of your team? And I talk about culture and identity a lot because when it comes down to the nitty-gritty like we just saw yesterday, it matters. So when I ask a question, to No C, not being a jerk, I'm just saying, what do you truly expect to that you know you can rest your head on?
You're kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
I'm joking. What can you,
teams that have such a jerk, Isaiah.
And I said on the postgame show yesterday, there are certain teams that have an identity.
He's not really a jerk. I'm just joking.
Yeah. I mean, we watched everybody at home sat there and watched that Detroit and Green Bay game yesterday for the most part. And
that team balled.
One thing you know about Detroit is what?
They're going to fight.
They're going to freaking fight. They're going to bust you in the mouth.
Identity.
They're going to fight.
That's their identity. It doesn't matter if they win or lose. You're going to leave limping. Everybody's not going back healthy. But that's the identity of a team, right? And there's certain individuals and certain cultures that are established, and I'm just waiting to see Dallas's. We know that Dallas is fully capable of being a freaking amazing team when they play all together. When they figure it out, when they come together and come to play, oh, they're a problem. And everybody knows that. Everybody in the league knows talent-wise – based upon their roster, based upon their coaching staff, the capabilities that Dallas possesses. But it's a mindset to go out there and put that on the for show every single week. Mm-hmm. So you have to go back and watch a crap load of film. I mean, there is no video games. There is no TV. There's not even no reading. Okay, when you're on the toilet, you're watching film. When you should go to bed falling asleep to film. Wake up, first thing you grab is your tablet watching more film. Like, everybody has to be on one accord, and then you have to have meetings on top of meetings. I go back to our time on our Super Bowl run, and we would watch film like crazy. Then we would have installed, and we have practice, and we have walkthroughs, and then we would come back, and Eli would have a whole nother film the package that he had put together, and he'd bring all the people who were going to catch a ball, and we would sit in a room, and we would watch film based upon from his perspective. And you would just, I mean, it was so much so that we were all on one accord so that the nonverbal communication was on one accord. All the install, everything that you were seeing, everything that I was seeing, we were all seeing the same exact thing. That's where this team has to get to within a span of 7 days. And they just happen to have to do it against the best dude to ever touch the football field.
Who's had his own share of struggles.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And here's what I'm interested in seeing. You mentioned 2021. So let's talk about the back end of 2021 for a quick moment. And as it relates to the back end of 2022, the seasons-wise. Cowboys went into week 18 against the Philadelphia Eagles last season and just walked the dog.
Yeah, they did.
50-plus points. Walked the dog. Everybody was feeling good. Everybody was feeling great, from the fandom to the analysts to everybody inside the building. Feeling great, feeling wonderful. Going into the playoffs, 12-5. On the heels of that kind of a win against a division rival? Absolutely. Let's go. And then what happened in the wild card?
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to now, the exact opposite has now taken place. The Cowboys are still at 12-5, exactly what they were last season, but they're entering the playoffs having been punched in the mouth in week 18.
Okay.
It'll be very interesting to see if they can flip the script. Maybe they were riding too high off of that 50-point bomb against the Eagles in Week 18. Went into AT&T against the 49ers and thought, oh, we got this. They can come in with their boom boxes and whatnot. We're going to walk. Oh, and I oop. And I oop. Right? So maybe, and again, nobody wanted to see. And we all predicted this team would win in big fashion against Washington. Nobody wanted to see what we watched at FedEx Field on yesterday. That said, it will be very interesting to see, because now we've seen the Cowboys going to the playoffs 12-5, you know, hanging a 50 brisket. Is that what we're doing? 50 brisket?
50 brisket, yeah.
Hanging a 50 brisket on a divisional rival. Well, now you're going into the playoffs. You're still 12-5 just like last season, but you're missing some teeth. So now what are you going to do?
Okay, let me just play devil's advocate here, though. Playing devil's advocate here. Yesterday, when you went into that game, you had everything still on the table.
Mm-hmm.
At kickoff, now, of course, that left it at halftime, right? Mm-hmm. You had everything still on the table. Could have been the top seed in the NFC, could have won the division, at least go into.
Fallen in your favor.
Exactly. The last game of the 2021 season where everything mattered for the Cowboys, or something outside of seeding mattered, was Arizona, week 17. You got beat in that game. Mm-hmm. You got beat in that same game. So yesterday was the last game everything mattered in the regular season. Just so happened to be the last game of the regular season. You went into that Week 18 matchup against Philly resting guys, or talking about resting guys. Now, they didn't. They played in the first half, and then you won 51-26. So I've always looked at that Philly game as false hope, fool's gold, because you didn't play in the game that mattered most against Arizona.
The finale last year,
okay. Correct. As fool's gold, because you went into Arizona needing a win to improve your seeding. You could have been the 2 seed in the NFC at that point, and you didn't win that game. Yesterday, same thing. You went into it, you needed a win to improve your seeding, mm-hmm. and you didn't win it. So that's my one devil's advocate about you were riding high, sure, because you won 51-26, but was it really? Did it really feel the same, Isaiah, or was it again back to the hope that we're talking about?
It's hope. It's always hope until you show me that you can consistently give me the same performance.
Yeah.
It's always hope. Mm. Always. And people look at it as a bad word. It is a bad word. It's just like saying somebody has potential. Because that's what we're talking about. Dallas has the potential of showing up next week and smacking Tampa upside the head. They got the potential.
Absolutely.
But you don't have the confidence in it right now. And anybody who says they have confidence in it right now is lying. Because you're hoping. Because you don't have any work over the last 5 weeks to show that, yeah, these boys show up and they do this every single time. You don't. So if you don't know that, there's no coach that's going to pick a player that you don't know what they're going to get every single game.
Okay, so here's devil's advocate.
Okay.
So now I'm going to play that. I'm going to piggyback off Kyle's devil advocate-ness. New word, go with it. Advocacy.
I'll let it work.
I don't think hope is a bad word unless it's blind.
Okay.
Right? So I keep harping on the fact that there is evidence to support the fact that you if you choose to have hope, I can't tell you if you should have hope or not. We just put the facts out there and you see it with your own eyes and then you determine what you want to do. But if you choose to subscribe to hope, I choose to subscribe to hope. Here's why I choose to subscribe to hope. Again, Cowboys have shown a proclivity to bounce back after losses this season. That's one. Two, you're getting Jonathan Hankins back for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You're getting a key player and your defensive play caller in Leighton Van Der Esch back. And there's a very good chance, put a pin in it, but there's a very good chance you'll get your starting center back for Super Wild Card weekend. Combine those variables into a cauldron. Sprinkle in some coaching staff praise that we've been giving as far as overcoming adversity. Mm-hmm. And the hope is not a bad thing because, to me, it's not blind. If the Cowboys had shown you nothing to believe in, backed their way into the playoffs, then you could probably say, you know what, okay, you could look at the Giants, for example, say, well, they backed their way into the playoffs that season, and then they went on the run, and there you go. You just got to get hot at the right time. Mm-hmm. Fair. But even that was closer to blind hope than anything because they backed in. They didn't look great on the back end of that season or for the majority of that season. This Cowboys team, which goes back to my frustration, this Cowboys team has shown that when they come to play and when they don't play down to the level of competition, they can beat every other team in the league. Now show me once again that you can take a punch in the mouth, get up off of the mat, but now the task is more daunting because now everything's on the line against Tom Brady on his field. So, yes, degree of difficulty, through the roof, exponentially higher. But the hope is not blind is what I'm saying.
I like your point.
I like your point. And we'll talk more about this, obviously, as the week goes on. Thank you,
jerk.
Then I have to go, and I'm not – this is no set conclusion for me, right? I still have a ton more film to watch and a bunch of other stuff, right?
Yeah.
But as of right now. What's the strength of your team? What portion of your team is a strength?
It's supposed to be your pass rush.
Supposed to be your pass rush. Okay. Does Tom Brady hold the ball?
No, he gets it out pretty quick.
Okay, they get it out pretty quick. Okay. Where's the weakness of your team right now?
Secondary.
I don't know where you're going.
Okay. Where's the strength of their team?
Wide receivers.
So as we're looking at this hope, and then we look at the matchup.
Fair.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's where my mind's going with it. I'm not set on it. It's not Friday. I haven't said it with my chest yet in terms of where I'm going with it. I'm just looking at the reality. Right. Like where the areas that we suck right now is the areas that they excel in. The portions that you think that you can usually take advantage of the game, you can't because he's not going to give you the opportunity to get there. Right. So you start looking at it and you start saying, okay, well, where else can we – can we figure things out? Okay, well, we got to be able to run the ball. Well, they got some dudes that kind of make it hard to run the ball.
Yeah.
Right? And then you start looking at, okay, well, we throw the ball on them, right? We got Kellen Moore. We got Dak. We got Dak. Mm. And you start thinking some of the decisions that are being made. So I hear you on the hope, but it's the same reason why you wouldn't put Russell Westbrook on your basketball team right now. Yeah. You know, he's shown you what he's capable of.
Russ catching some strays.
But you know what he's capable of, right? You've seen it before.
Russ is catching strays out here.
But you've seen it before. You know what he's capable of, but he's not somebody that you're going to pick on your roster right now because you're hoping that the old school Russell Westbrook shows up. Hope's not a strategy.
I understand the hope from the beginning. I understand it not being blind hope as well. But you also don't want to be... You don't want to be negligent to what could come.
Absolutely.
Because the red flags are there. They're all there again, and they're waving right in front of your face, much like it did last year.
Red.
We chose to ignore it, and then went right into it. Patrick's wearing the Georgia red today. Walking red flag. No, I'm just kidding. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up. Mm-hmm. We're going to turn the page a little early, okay?
Let's do it.
It's playoff week.
Please.
You know? We're going to turn the page a little bit early.
Go.
This one hurts.
Mode now.
It's win or go home next week against Tampa Bay, right after we come back here on Talking Cowboys.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's blackriflecoffee.com to fuel up today.
Lil' Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil' Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Want to use what the pros use? How about the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys? Jack Black. Right now you can get the Jack Black Starter, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The starter includes 4 Jack Black skincare favorites plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word TEAMJB. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys. The Jack Black Starter, $10, free shipping.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Back to Talking Cowboys.
All right, guys, it's playoff week, and the boys need you. Cowboys Nation, show your team pride and support this postseason with the best gear in the league. Head to the nearest pro shop or log on to shop.dallascowboys.com, a Fanatics experience, and let's get rowdy. We don't know where it's going to be yet, but there will be a watch party, Cowboys watch party, either at the Miller Lighthouse at AT&T Stadium or in the Tostitos Championship Plaza here at the Star in Frisco. It should be one of the two. And wherever it is,
we're bringing it.
Cowboys pregame live and postgame coverage will be live from that
spicy
watch party. So keep it ready. Keep an eye out. We'll get you. We'll get you all the information you need to know. Back here with Patrick Nosy Walker. We've got Isaiah Stanback, hello. Chris Beam in the back. There is some breaking Cowboys news, by the way. Broncos, as of 10 minutes ago, a little bit more than that. Yes. Broncos have requested permission to interview Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn for their head coaching job, per source. That is reports from Adam Schefter.
The Broncos are talking to everybody.
Everyone.
Yep.
It's Sean Payton, Dan Quinn.
Everyone. D'Amico Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're talking to everyone.
D'Amico's already
check your
waved.
Phone.
D'Amico's already waved off that.
They're going to call you next.
D'Amico's already waved off that job in South Texas. He's like, I want no parts.
He's like, no, thank you.
Nobody
no, thank you.
Play for that dude.
Yeah. All right. If you had to pick one area of improvement that you want to see from week 18 to the wild card, and you only get one. You get one card.
Okay.
Where are you going to play it? Where do you want to see the Cowboys in order to get a win against Tampa?
Mindset.
Not even in position.
Nope. Collective mindset.
Okay. What would you want to see?
I want to see a killer instinct. I want to, every facet of this game, these guys, every player that takes the field has to not only understand their assignment, execute their assignment, and be relentless in their approach to the game. That's what I need to see. That's what we have not seen across the board.
Where does that start? Does that start at your coach?
Absolutely.
Start at your quarterback?
It always starts with your coach. But the only thing is your coach can't make players play.
Okay.
So it starts with your coach. He can have all the meetings he wants to. He can instill all the practice, scripts and schemes and all everything else. But at the end of the day, your players have to make the decision to go out there and be dogs.
That was a huge talking point in the offseason. When they were drafting, when they were adding free agents, we want to go out there and add dogs. We want to add guys that have that killer instinct, that have that secondhand mentality of, we don't care who you are on the other side of the football, we're going to do our own thing. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that over the last month and a half. They've been winning games. Great. They haven't been showing that. It hasn't been that killer instinct yet.
The playoffs, you have to have an etch-and-sketch mentality.
Wipe and repeat and
that's
go.
That's it. Every play that happens, ooh, that was nice. Okay, shake it off. Next one.
For me, I'm not concerned with the mindset and the aspect of all season we've been concerned that this team has been playing down to its competition. Valid. Fair. We've said it. We've seen it. We've criticized it.
On the flip side.
On the flip side, there are theoretically no bad teams in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about you playing down to your competition because you know what you're up against.
Sure.
So here we go. Lock and load. But to answer your question, passing attack, passing offense.
Okay.
From week 18 to Super Wild Card weekend, passing offense has to get firing. There were so many miscues in Washington. And some of it, a good bit of it, was accountable to Dak Prescott. You saw some errant passes. I remember one in particular to Schultz that kind of sailed over. That would have been a first down over to the left-hand side. Mm-hmm. But then also in the passing attack, talk about the miscue to Ezekiel Elliott out on the screen. Zeke didn't even know the ball was coming his way, so he didn't turn around. And Zeke can make that play, but I wonder why Pollard wasn't there. So kind of looking at Kellen Moore for that one. T.Y., one of the more shorthanded pass catchers in the history of the game, two drops I registered. And one of those was on the big third down play where, he had to climb the ladder, hit him right in the hands, right? Passing attack. That means the quarterback, Dak Prescott, has to play cleaner football, has to make better decisions. I'm not saying.
Oh, you picked two. That's two.
No,
that's
two. Passing attack.
He did say passing attack.
Yeah, this is all passing attack. And like I said,
you took an umbrella with the question, too. So he can take an umbrella.
He took more than an umbrella. He took the whole tarp.
Took the whole team.
He put the tarp over the field. over the building. But no, for me, it's passing attack. Dak Prescott, I'm not saying anyone needs to neuter him. We said that last week. That's not what we're saying. But be smarter with your decision-making. Yeah. Make better throws than what were made in Week 18. On the opposite side of that, receivers, get your hand on the ball, catch the ball, because those possessions are going to count in a big way against Tom Brady, because all he ever needs is you to give him one more possession than you should have.
Yeah. You've lost five games this season, one to Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia, one to Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, one to Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence, who's on fire and now a playoff team. Sam Howell added his name to that list with the Washington Commanders. But the first one that handed you a loss could also be the one that hands you your final loss, and that's Tom Brady. Gosh. Monday Night Football, 7:15 Central Time kickoff coming up next week. We've got an entire week of shows to preview it and to break it down. Tomorrow,
just exercise this demon, man.
The power of Jimmy compels you. Okay. We are going to open up the phone lines tomorrow.
Yes.
Give us a call. 888-855-2297. We'll get started 9 a.m. Central Time tomorrow. It's a Talking Tuesday. We want to hear from Cowboys Nation. For Chris Beam, Isaiah Stanback, Patrick Nosey-Walker, I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long from the Star in Frisco. We'll see you tomorrow with more Talking Cowboys.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!